The subconscious is definitely not inanimate, but it's helpful sometimes to treat it as a person, and very helpful to recognize it as its computer-like functions. Okay? And in the old days, we want to use what is available in the present culture and technology. See, I learned a lot of things in Hawaii and in Africa that are simply not applicable to this mainland culture. That brings us to the next one. Okay. Negotiation. Bringing something to agreement or reaching an agreement. Okay. Getting your subconscious to act the way you want it to act. Your subconscious has no opinions of its own. It may seem to, but it doesn't, any more than a computer does. A computer operates by the programs that have been put into it. It cannot act in any other way. The subconscious is the computer function of your mind. And it cannot act in any other way except by programs that have been put into it. And when you are working with the subconscious, it's important not to get into an adversary relationship. It's not fighting you. It's not working against you. It doesn't. Sometimes we do this for convenience sake or just for the sake of conversation. We say, well, my subconscious is giving me some difficulty here. But it isn't really. It's the program it's operating that's giving you the difficulty. And the program you can always change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. True. That's right. Now, that's often a useful analogy to treat the subconscious as a child. Okay? Now, here's a way in which it's really useful. And this gets into this negotiating, because you're trying to get the subconscious to change, okay? To have different kinds of operations and action. When you're thinking of it as a child, this is very useful, because how would you train a child? With a whip and a chain? It doesn't work very well. Okay? You will produce resistance, great resistance. Okay? If anybody has ever had any children, try and make them do something. Okay? It doesn't work very well. How do you get the best results with children? By treating them with kindness, by treating them with love, by encouraging them, by showing and demonstrating with them, by being tolerant of mistakes, by doing all those kinds of things. You have that child within you, okay? That learns in exactly the same way. It is you, just like the child part of the part of the child that is learning. And for the best results, you want to achieve that same kind of rapport with yourself as you would with a child you were trying to teach something, really for the purpose of benefiting it and getting better results in its life. Okay? So that is a good analogy to use in there with your subconscious, and you will get terrific results if you treat it that way, with love and appreciation and praise for everything it does right, and not paying too much attention to the thing it doesn't. Okay? And that works, and it brings out those qualities that you want in yourself. Yes? Sure. Oh, all the time. I have to think about that. I never really considered it. I guess there were times, yes, when I used to get angry with myself. Right. So that wasn't really too loving. And there was a period where I had a pretty poor self-image of myself. Okay. And I always criticized myself for doing things. I always criticized other people, too. I went through that. And I had to learn how to be more loving. Yes. I wasn't born with it. Okay. So If you find that you are criticizing yourself, you saw what happened when we did the muscle test, how the energy shrinks back and you have less of it, and it produces a more resistance because subconscious, what is it, Dove? What does it do primarily? Avoids pain, seeks pleasure. Okay? Well, if it learns that every time it tries to act, you jump on it, it will stop acting. If at every time it attempts to move out and produce something, you criticize it for not being enough, not being good enough, it'll stop acting. Okay? If you have a child and every time the child does something, you say, that's nice, but you could have done better. Okay? Yes, right? Well-meaning parents do that. They are well-meaning. They think they're encouraging you. Okay? And what they're doing is dampening your spirit completely. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't work, see? Okay. You encourage the child by not trying to push it and make it go forward, but by praising what it does, and then it will do more things. Okay. Because with subconscious work, you have never, ever learned anything from a mistake, except that something didn't give you the results you wanted. You had never learned anything useful except that from a mistake. People do not learn from mistakes. They learn from what they do right. When you were a child, first learning how to walk, you got up and you were wavering and stuttering and stumbling, and the first few times it may have been difficult and you may have fallen down, and then you got up again and tried it again, and finally you were able to walk okay. Why? Because you forgot what didn't work and you remembered what did work. And then you're able to walk. If you kept remembering what worked, what didn't work, you'd keep falling down. See? You've got to let that go. You don't learn from mistakes. You learn from your successes. And so that's what you want to pay attention to and remember. And leave the mistakes in the past. Or you can do what I finally decided to do. I don't make any mistakes. Ta-da! Okay? I just have experiences. So I've changed the wording there so my subconscious doesn't have any problem with doing whatever it does. Oh, that's an experience we're not going to repeat. And off we go and do something else. Okay? So that's just another way to help it. But all of those things that you make that are errors, it's like there's nothing wrong with errors and mistakes. And it's important to let your subconscious know that so that it feels free. You know, successful people make more mistakes than unsuccessful people. Because unsuccessful people don't try as much. All right? When you are driving a car from one point to another, 99% of the time, you're going in the wrong direction. That's right. There you are driving along the road, and you start to go off to the right, and you correct, right? And you start to go off to the left, and you correct, and you go off to the right and correct, and it's a constant correcting all your mistakes, all the way from one point to another. That's right. Now, what do you do when you're doing that? When you start to go off to the right, do you say, oh my God, I'm going off to the right, this is terrible, I'm bad, I'm awful, this is a mess? You'd be off the road if you did that. You don't do that. You simply, you don't do anything. You don't think of it. You don't think it's important. You simply correct. And you keep in mind your destination. And on you move. And for each mistake you make, you simply correct and keep going. Well, folks, you've got the skill already of how to be successful. That kind of programming, driving your car from one point to another, is the same principle that you already know so well that you can apply in anything you're doing in life. It's only that in some areas of life, at some point you decided that this kind of mistake is bad. And that's only because somebody told you so. At any point, you can decide that it's no more bad than starting to move to the left a little or the right a little when driving a car. It has about that much importance. The important thing is correcting and going to your destination. Now, I keep going, talking about moving and kind of moving forward and taking action. And I want to bring up a point here that somebody mentioned in a question and when we had the big break. And that was that we're talking about growth, and growth is not always outward moving action. Sometimes growth is quieting down and pulling back and growing inside. We have cycles in life. And there are cycles when outer action is the perfect, wonderful, important thing to do, and there are cycles where it's time to regroup, you know, stop, let things filter in, be one with the world, and be right here and now. That's also growth. Plants go through cycles of intense activity and rest. Okay? And that's part of the growth part. They couldn't grow completely if they only had intense activity. That rest part, where they are regrouping and being inside and meditating, plants meditate. Just like people, some people do. And that's part of this growing cycle. Okay? When we have tension in our bodies, if it's unrelieved tension, we break down. But if we go through life with no tension at all, we're vegetables. Okay? The cycle, the healthy cycle, is tension release, tension release, tension release. Okay? Which can be over a long period, or if you want to build up enthusiasm, you ever see people who are real enthusiasm? What's the difference between being really angry and really enthusiastic? When you're really angry, it's all tension. When you're really enthusiastic, it's yay, yay, yay. It's tension release, tension release, tension release. Okay? It has a completely different effect on the energy and your thinking. Okay? That's getting on a little bit. But anyway, in impressing and getting contact with your subconscious and having it do things, this is where this negotiation comes in. You make it beneficial. You make it nice, you make it pleasant, you make it loving, and you make it beneficial. Your subconscious is results-oriented. Goal-striving mechanism, I think, is what Maxwell Maltz called it. Okay? And if you want, let's say, better health, then as far as your subconscious is concerned, you better give it an image or some kind of motivation for moving toward better health. I'll give you an example of this. I was working with a woman who was in a wheelchair. And she'd been in a wheelchair since she was 13. And she didn't have apparently anything organically wrong, although there had been some muscle atrophy because she hadn't been up for a long time. She was in her 40s. And she came to me because she wanted to walk and no one had been able to help her, and she wanted to see if I'd be able to help her. So we started working, and I started running energy, and I started getting her to use her mind and walking around and stuff like that. At the point where she started to feel some tingling in her legs, and the real possibility of walking seemed to be there, she left. She wrote me a letter, a nice letter later on, but she left. Stopped the treatment. Why? Well, what had happened when she first went into the wheelchair was she was a super tall woman. As 13, she was taller than anybody else in school. And there'd been some traumatic incident that she always refused to talk about, but she ran home and collapsed in her room and never was able to walk again. Okay? So what happened as the result was that she was in a wheelchair lower than everybody else, which worked out real neat for the subconscious that didn't have to confront the fears and the criticism. She was also the head of she was receiving benefits as a handicapped person, and she was president of a handicapped organization, which was a large organization and an important position in the area. Well, the subconscious is saying, in a sense, what's the benefit of walking? We're going to be taller than everybody else. We're going to lose our job. We're going to lose the benefits. Okay? People aren't going to have the same kind of sympathy and care and attention that they did before. What do I want to get healthy for? Okay? There's got to be a positive reason, a positive motivation for the subconscious. Remember, it moves toward pleasure, away from pain. All it could see in that situation was more pain. So no, it's not going to do it. So if you want to move into a particular area, health, relationships, money, you've got to make it pleasurable and beneficial and for the subconscious. You've got to create what are pretty pictures, although it doesn't have to be powerful imagery, as vivid as you can, sensory vividness, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, whatever, how great it's going to be to have this happen. How wonderful it's going to be to have all the money you need in your pocket and in the bank and be able to go here and take all these courses and take Sage's Shaman training and all the... Just thought I'd throw that in for the subconscious. How great it's going to be healthy, okay? How wonderful it's going to be able to walk around and have energy flowing through and wake up and be able to greet the sky and greet the world with happiness and good feeling. How great it's going to be to have a person that you really love and cares about you and that you love and care and you have fun together and you grow together. How wonderful that's going to be. How good you're going to look, you know, in that bikini next summer and you go out there and how you're going to love those admiring glances. I start this with some women. They say, wait a minute, people, if I lose weight, people are going to, men are going to start coming on to me and I don't want that. And subconscious says, that's painful, and they stop. Okay. But if you want to get the result, you've got to paint a picture or create an image or scene or thing that is subconscious is going to say, yeah, right, that's for me. That's going to be fun. That's going to be pleasure. Okay. Boy, it'll run toward it. Okay, you won't have to hardly put any effort if you can make that exciting enough. It's not important enough. It's got to be real important then to you. I mean, there's no real separation there. But what the subconscious mind is not getting is that you think it's important enough. Oh, I got to share that one of John Baer's. Talk about motivation. Okay. Getting the subconscious to act. Now, this was doing it from the opposite end. Remember, pain can be used as a motivation. Okay. To act in a particular way and move away from it. And Stan was telling me about his friend John Baer, who did a kind of a diet, infallible diet. Okay, and I'll try and get all the particulars approximately right. But basically, he put $5,000 into, or suggested, I don't know whether he did it or not, but he put $5,000 into a trust account.
He did it, okay.
He put $5,000 into a trust account. A what? An unbreakable trust, okay, with the proviso that after a certain period of time, if you didn't lose 10 pounds, that $5,000 would go to the Ku Klux Klan. Now, that's negotiation, that's right. That's saying to the subconscious, lose it or else. That's right, okay. He lost the weight, yes. Okay, that's one way to do it, okay? But see, there is a difficulty with that. There is a difficulty. Did he keep it off?
Well, he built that into his loyalty agreement with his partnership.
Oh, okay.
He wrote a diet book about this, and the agreement was that the publisher, each year, would accumulate the loyalty, and then he would come in and get weighed.
Oh.
And if his weight had gone up above a certain point, all his loyalties went to the American Nazi Party.
Now, very creative. That's right. Really worked with the way the subconscious operates. They really did it. But the only thing about that is that it requires a constant threat. Okay? And while some people may be able to do that without much problem, okay, it's not very much fun overall. you can get the same results without being that drastic by having a very positive benefit. And a benefit, as much as you can, that does not depend on anybody else. For instance, if you are losing weight, to use that one, if you are losing weight to please a lover, the instant that lover gets mad at you or leaves, you've lost your incentive. Yeah, that's right. See? That one doesn't work very well. Okay? But if you can create something which is personally ongoing, pleasureful experience, okay, then you've really motivated the subconscious more. And you have yourself something that's moving toward, and it'll always move towards something easier than away from something. It will move away from something. You create enough potential pain, it'll move away. But it'll always move easier towards something that's pleasurable. And you simply have to use your creativity to feel. But like I said, in some cases, it picks up whether you believe it's important enough to take action. I had a woman, and she was trying, said she wanted to lose weight. And so I gave her all kinds of great stuff to do. And she did everything except change her diet. Okay? She wanted to lose weight and keep on eating the same amount and the same stuff in the same way. Well, that's not change. There is a rule for the subconscious that if you want to change, you must change. Okay? You must do things differently. Now, it wouldn't matter if she, you know, let's say she was eating all steak, to make it simple, if she started eating all potatoes, she could have lost the weight. Because the actual physical changing of what she was doing impresses the subconscious. It says, I'm serious. This is a physical impression. Let's do it different. Okay? But she was trying to have it all. What she did was, you know, she got rid of her insomnia and a lot less stress and was enjoying life a lot better and lost 2 pounds. Okay? That was it. Okay? Because she would not make any other, make a real change in relation to the weight. So you've got to do that too. You have to take some action of some kind, internal, external action, that the subconscious realizes, oh yeah. Some action to reinforce the new belief is what we're really talking about when we're talking about reinforcement. Some action to reinforce the new belief. Okay. Any questions on negotiating with the subconscious? Yes, Bob. Well, it's similar. If you get rapport with your subconscious, that's easier to negotiate. Okay? Now, that simply means coming to peace with it. That goes back to that acceptance thing that we were talking about. This is the way things are, and that's okay for now. That's establishing rapport. Okay? That's right. That's right. You had to start taking actions that would reinforce the new belief in what you were saying you were going to do. So if you start, you know, trying, a good way to establish rapport is to start giving your subconscious a lot of praise. I praise my subconscious for everything all the time. Okay? If it does a good job at anything, getting here in the morning, I say thank you. Okay? If I'm walking along and I happen to stumble and I catch myself, I say, thank you, that was great, good work. Whatever it does, an idea comes in, I know it had to, regardless of where it came from, my subconscious had to bring it to my conscious attention, and I say thank you. Okay? I keep a constant sense of thank you, a constant sense of you're good, you're okay, you're great, you're wonderful, whatever it is. I get up in the morning and I sing, Mr. Wonderful, that's me. Yeah. Whatever you like, it turns you on, okay? And you can do all of this. Some people will go into that kind of thing. They'll say, whoa, wow, that's egotistical. Not when you allow everybody else to be wonderful too. Okay? Then it's not egotistical. Okay? You can say, I'm the greatest, and so are you. All of you too. You're the greatest too. But so am I. Okay, that's not egotistical then. Okay. It's a good way, you know, if your subconscious has problems with that one. So, yeah, there's all these ways in which you can negotiate and establish rapport by giving a lot of compliments. Any other questions on negotiating? Okay. Determination. What is determination all about? People have images of people going, I'm going to make it, okay? That is not the essence of determination. Sometimes it's appropriate, but that's not the essence of determination. Determination is sustained intention. Yes.
Because that's the one that sometimes can be a real issue.
Okay, let me show you how to sustain. Let me tell you how to make that easy. We're talking here about choice. We're talking about making a decision. All right? And we're talking, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about will, but I'll talk about it here. Willpower. People have a misunderstanding of what willpower is. They think of willpower and determination, you know, very similar. And they think of willpower as, boy, like this, you know, and somebody is a weak will, who's just kind of flobby and flappy. Willpower has got nothing to do with all that kind of stuff. Willpower is the ability to make a decision. Now, we often say that person has strong willpower. Why do we say that? What are they actually doing? They're making a decision, and they keep making the same decision. And a person that we say has weak willpower, they're also making decisions. They're just making different decisions. Okay. So if I'm going from here to there, and it's going to take me 5 days, then every day I've got to make the decision to go from here to there. Every day, I have to redecide, and I keep that decision until I get here. But if I'm going from here to there, and I go like this, and I've decided to go over there, and I say, no, I think I'll go over here, or maybe, nope, I'm going to go over here, and I think I'll just sit down here for a while. I have still made decisions, just as many. I've only made different ones. Okay. So we're talking about when we're talking about determination, we are talking about a sustained decision. That is a decision made over and over and over again of the same kind or in the same way. And that's all willpower is. Okay? Keeping the same decision. Doesn't take any effort. Doesn't take any energy. It is a way of directing the attention of your mind. It doesn't take any energy. What happens sometimes is that you are making a decision and things begin to happen. The moment you start making a decision, energy goes out from you and the universe starts creating stuff in line with that decision. And sometimes it's subtle telepathic feedback at first, and other times other events start to happen. The moment you make a decision about anything, the universe starts to react. That's karma. Then what happens is your subconscious reacts to the reaction and gets a little frightened or scared, doesn't feel capable, starts out of old programming, imagining terrible results, and the thought comes up, oh, wait, you don't really want to do that, okay? Make another decision, okay? And so you don't make it and you don't keep it sustained, but you move in another direction. And so what happens is you never accomplish what you want to accomplish, whether it's inner work, deep meditation, spiritual development that you want to do, or whether it's outer prosperity and health and success. Because you've never given the energy enough time to gather momentum great enough to produce results. When you give a decision, make a decision about something, as a radiation of energy goes out, and it gathers momentum. And the longer you keep that same decision, for instance, every belief that you have is a decision that something is true. All of your beliefs are based on decisions that something is true. And it's up to you whether to keep deciding they're true or not, but that's all they are. That's the nature of a belief. That's how it starts. It's a decision that something is true. Now, When you make a decision, and that's why the present beliefs that you have, you just keep deciding they're true, and that's why they keep radiating out and producing effects. But you make a new decision, you start energy rolling in a certain direction. Events start to form around that energy. And it becomes like, here's a good analogy. If you're driving a car and you're going around a curve, okay? Well, driving a car is like, here you are in the existing belief system. Energy's rolling, momentum already is there. Okay? You come around the curve. Let's say there's a road goes straight. And around the curve, it starts, if it's a real sharp curve, that is, you're in the process of making a decision radically different from your present lifestyle. Okay? It's a real sharp curve. The inertia of the momentum, the existing momentum, is real strong. There's a real resistance to change. And so what some people might do in a situation, if it's too strong, they'll straighten out the car, and then, oh, whew, it's easy again, okay, because you're back in the old momentum. But you haven't given the new one time enough. Now, if you make the change anyway, you come around that curve, there's that pressure and that resistance of the change, and then that eases off, and then you're in the new direction. And then that becomes easy. Another way of looking at this, we call it the rubber band effect. When you are in the process of changing a lifestyle or changing a decision about yourself or to create something new, it's like stretching a rubber band. And what happens is that as you get way out, like you're stretching the old belief, you know, to the point where you want to have it break, and as the tension builds up, which is the resistance to the change, which is a natural physical phenomenon, physical energy law phenomenon, most people back off, okay, at that point. That's when they start saying things like, oh, that means I'm not supposed to do it, okay, or something like that, or this is too painful, or I don't want to go through that, and they back off. And why? Oh, they feel such relief, because the tension has eased and the old momentum is gone. But at the point of greatest tension is when you are closest to breaking through an old limiting belief. And if you've got the guts, that's the time to plunge even further into what you're doing, and it will break. Or you can do some other things that aren't that drastic. That's one way. You can find ways to work with your subconscious and change the belief in such a way that you simply cut the rubber band and your belief is gone like that. Okay? There's always another way to do it. But this is what often happens. The people come up against the momentum. If you're starting a new belief, a new direction, a new way of life, you've got to keep the energy going by sustained decision until it's strong enough and flowing strong enough so that the new events have time to attract and coalesce and build and build and build until the new life is there. But all it is the continual directing of your attention on what you want or where you're going. And that doesn't take any muscle. So you don't have to get fatigued doing that. If you're trying to push yourself forward with your muscles, yes, you will get fatigued. If you're trying to resist your old way yourself, yes, you will get fatigued. But you don't have to. You can relax your muscles and keep your attention. And you'll feel some flutterings and funny feelings as the energy patterns begin to shift. But it'll make the movement easier. It'll make the movement a lot easier.